Say something, baby. Say something to me, baby.
Trash Talk Radio. Coming at you live on MP3 from high on a hill above beautiful Lake Washington. My name is Lestro, and with me, as always, is the Guru.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
And you know how this goes. We're here to talk a little trash on the week's worth of sports. I don't know anybody except the Guru, and the Guru knows all.
Man, I know just a little something, something, man. Just a little something, man.
Guru, it is episode number 93, and week two of the NFL has brought us a ton of quarterback questions to go forward with. As two Giants go down, one gets benched, and one might be washed. Plus, the best quarterback in the league gets in a fight with his coach and wants out. Where will he fit best? Then, Guru's got his week three preview as Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes square off. The Browns get a real challenge as the Rams come to town, and the Texans and Chargers both need a win this week. Then, the Almanac drops by for the Campus Jacket to preview the week in college football and give us the Almanac Poll Top 10. Plus, he's got a brand new segment for us this week, Guru. Then we got Guru's call-outs and shout-outs. We've got our Bets with Ben segment with Ben Carey of CapWise.com. And you know we got a two-minute drill. Guru, episode number 93.
Let's roll.
That's another big show, Guru. Another big show, man.
Week going into week three, finish week two in the NFL. Everything get bigger from now on, man. It just gets bigger and bigger.
Starting to feel real, you know what I mean? How are you, man? It's good to see you.
Man, I'm living the dream. Don't you pinch me, Lester. I am living the dream, man.
Did you have a good week?
Oh, I had a great week.
Yeah?
Yes. Football freaking
of course,
Sunday.
Right? Well, then, you
and
know what?
Monday. And Thursday.
Some Thursdays. And although Monday, I don't know if Monday counts as football, how that came out with the Browns at Jets. That was a...
You know what? It might be the same thing this Monday.
Yeah, it's all...
It's the Bears and the Redskins.
Oh, the Bears. We'll get to both those teams at some point here this week. All right, let's do our week two rewind. We got a huge show this week, as that rundown says. We got to get to the Almanac. We got to get to Bets with Ben. Let's just start off with week two, because there's some big things that happened this week, Guru. And we saw the scores. We saw the names. The big news is who were lost and who were changing. It's like a changing of the guard out there already in week three in some of the quarterbacks. We saw some of the biggest names in the game go down, one for the season, one for 6 weeks, as Big Ben Roethlisberger out there in Pittsburgh, he's done for the year. And then Drew Brees with New Orleans, he's out for 6 weeks with a hand injury. This is unprecedented.
The old man is not eating the kale salad, man. They're not getting on that TB12 diet. That's what's happening.
So that's right. That's the guy who's making it. The oldest guy around is still throwing like he's like it's nothing. The only guy out there is Tom Brady. It's gonna be Tom Brady, cockroaches, and Keith Richards at the end of it all. That's what it's gonna be. But let's talk about the two teams and how this is gonna affect them differently. Because Big Ben is Pittsburgh, man. They got rid of everybody else. It's like Ben or bust. And now he's not there. Can Mason Rudolph do this? Is he the future?
I think they believe so. I believe the Steelers believe so. I think the Steelers organization believe Mason Rudolph is the future. And the one thing is, I believe they believe Big Ben still got a few years left in him.
You think he's coming back? Because that's the next question. Have we seen the last of Ben? I mean, he's an old man too.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think Big Ben will be coming back, and I think Big Ben will play for a few more years. And the Steelers organization, they feel confident in Big Ben for the next 2 to 3 years. So I don't think they're not really handing it to Mason Rudolph right now. What's really happening is the best of both worlds, in a sense. When in a bad situation, sometimes you got to look on the bright side. What's happening now, they get to evaluate Mason Rudolph in a situation where it's live bullets. So you really get to see what you have, which in a sense is going to be a luxury, which gives the organization, let's say Mason Rudolph become something good, something great in a sense. So now you have a great problem to have two good, really good quarterbacks. And in a sense, when you have two really good quarterbacks, you always go for the younger one, and he's cheaper. So in a sense, it's a great situation for the Pittsburgh organization to be in if Mason Rudolph is who they think they want him to be.
And plus, Mason Rudolph has a normal size face. It's not like it's like a tiny face carved into a giant tree.
Face,
he got
man.
A tiny, tiny face carved into a big tree of a fucking head over there, man. But this this elbow injury, he's I looked it up here. He's 37 years old. He's going to be out this season. That means he's 38 starting next season. And let's just say that Ben Roethlisberger has not kept himself in Tom Brady condition through the course of not only his career but his life. You think he's back? Do you think he got two more years in him? He comes back after this and jumps in again?
Absolutely, I think that's what they believe in. Worst case scenario, he's gonna come back. And usually, when you come back stronger after the second year after your injury or whatnot, so I anticipate him. So you know, two to three years. And Mason Rudolph, if he is who the organization believed that he is, then they have a great, great, basically changing up the guards handoff to Mason Rudolph.
But is this year done? Is this one? Should we just write this off and see what we can make out of it? Or they still got a shot this year with Mason Rudolph?
Honestly, they believe they have a shot. I think some of the moves they make to indicate that with the Micah Fitzpatrick,
right? What do you do when your franchise quarterback goes down? You trade a first round pick and go out and get a cornerback, a safety rather.
I mean, and that's one of the biggest need on the team. But I just get to show you that they believe in Mason Rudolph because they're not drafting a first round quarterback. They know who they want. The organization, like I said, they believe they got their guy, and they believe that Micah Fitzpatrick is going to be better than whomever's coming out at safety in the first round.
Right, and like you said, this is a chance to see what he does with live bullets this season. This is a throwaway season kind of for him anyway. If he succeeds, great. Yeah. If he doesn't, he wasn't supposed to. So the Steelers there. I'm not particularly worried about them then. So let's turn the page to another team that was expected to challenge here for the Super Bowl, and that is the New Orleans Saints, as Drew Brees, and Diesel gets into it for us again, as always here, as Drew Brees goes down with an injury for like 6 weeks now. How does this hurt the Saints' chances? They got Teddy Bridgewater stepping in.
Yeah, well, the good thing about the Saints situation is they have a savvy vet, a guy that has led his team to the playoff. So I like that dynamic in New Orleans. And he has been in backing up Drew Brees now, for the second straight years in a sense.
A couple of years.
So he knows the offense of Sean Payton. So I don't think it's going to be a drastic – obviously, you're losing Drew Brees, but I think they're going to be formidable. And with that said – I don't think they're going to be formidable the very next week, say this week. But
it's a tough game, man, coming into Seattle to play the 2-0 Seahawks.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to be formidable that situation. But I think overall aspect of thing, I think what's going to really be the key is the NFC South is not really good this year.
It's turning out that way, because that's another one we're going to get to here in just a second. All right, let's stay there before we move there. NFC South, also home to Cam Newton and the Panthers, mm-hmm. who we expected to be much better than they are. Even the Falcons, who got a win this week, barely over the Eagles. And by the way, that's the shittiest video I've ever seen of them. It's so embarrassing of them dancing in the locker room afterwards. It's a week fucking two, guys. Calm down. All of this in the South. The big question, though, is Cam Newton looks terrible. The Panthers just look lost. Newton doesn't look like Newton. Now, he had shoulder surgery in the offseason and just doesn't look ready to go yet. Do you think there's a problem here, or is he just washed?
Oh, man, Cam Newton is done, man.
He's just done.
He's done. I think that he's what's the report? Is he out for the season?
I think so.
Yeah, I think he's out for the season, too, man.
So what does that mean for this team?
Same thing in this situation. Carolina gets to look at they get to see what they're going to do as far as the future of the organization. Because in this situation, it's not only about the quarterback, it's also about...
They're not saying yet.
It's also about the coach, Rivera. So it's the organization got to make some directional moves. If it got to be the quarterback moves, they got to make the quarterback moves. But in my opinion, honestly, I think they got to just clean house. They got to – don't go as bad as the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying that. Have some dignity, man. Have some dignity. Have some freaking pride in yourself at least, man. But in a sense
– hang in, Miami. Processing's hard, man. It's tough. I'm not going to tell you to trust the process because that's our thing. But it's tough, man. There's a lot of downs before there's ups, and this is it.
A lot of guys like me that's going to make a lot of punch line off y'all.
Seriously,
baby.
I got to.
Yeah, thanks, Dolphin. You're going to make me get some checks.
I got a Miami Dolphins punchline for you in the two-minute drill here. But moving on with the Panthers and Cam Newton. Now, he looked terrible just in general these past weeks. He's on a back foot. They're not letting him run.
Foot, injury, shoulder.
I mean, the end of that game, how do you not let him run? You got... four downs, you got touchdowns.
I think it's an internal structure thing that's going on in Carolina. I don't believe Cam and Rivera gets along. I don't think that's a good marriage. And something got to be, there got to be a separation, a divorce got to be done. It's Cam or Rivera. It's just not working over there. And it's plain and evident. You can see that. It's visible. I don't need no one to tell me no behind the scenes. I could see that. That's why I have this, damn it. I could freaking see this shit and see where something is dysfunctional, where something don't seem right, man.
All right, speaking of where something don't seem right, and we've been seeing it for years, the analytics for years have said that nothing is right in New York, and we got the reports today that Eli Manning is officially benched. Week 3, Eli's going to be benched for Daniel Jones. It's a whole new era in Gotham. We saw this kind of coming, but at the same time, it still comes a bit of a shock to see him sat in Week 3. Eli Manning, what's this mean? Because they're terrible. They just look worse than the Jets this year, and that's saying something.
They're just admitting the rebuilding process, man. You know, that's all they're doing, and they got a guy. So Daniel Jones, we're going to see what Daniel Jones is. Obviously, the Giants think highly of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, no shit.
Highly of Daniel Jones. So the good thing about the NFL is, you know, you could think of highly of something, but we got to see that on the field. So Daniel
Jones,
this
is prove it time for all of them.
He's going to get his opportunity. His opportunity now. And obviously, there are going to be some bumps and bruises. It's going to be a lot of bumps and bruises. And I don't anticipate any type of greatness. If he does channel that, ooh, that is a that is an extra sauce in the jollof rice.
So this is the question then becomes Eli's legacy in New York and where do we leave him? He's obviously the best quarterback in this team's history. Two Super Bowl MVPs, two Super Bowl wins. Is he the best offensive player in Giants
best
history?
Best offensive player in Giants history.
Best. Straight up.
I think now with what Eli just did, what his staple is, when you think about the defense in Giants history, Lawrence Taylor, LT. When you think about offense in Giants history, you're going to think about Eli Manning. You know what I'm saying? And when you think about coach in
replacing
Giants
Phil
history,
Sims.
Yeah, you only think about coach in Giants history, Bill Parcells. That's just what it is in those trifectas, man.
And so, Eli, then, I guess, you know what, I'll ask you this in a two-minute drill. We're running out of time on this segment, so I'll add this to the drill later. We'll get to more on Eli. So let's quickly turn ahead to week 3, because that's the one that's coming up here, and there are some big games this weekend. Do you want to start with the big game, or do you want to build to it?
Oh, let's build, man. We always got to start with the foundation, lay that culture, man.
All right, so this week's got a couple of great games on it.
You got a foreplay before you inject it in there. For Lestro.
That's not the way I would phrase it, but that's what we'll do here. So let's start with the game that's not necessarily the biggest game of the week, but sort of a game where both teams need wins. Let's start with the Texans and the Chargers. This is both teams 1-1 coming in. Both teams have high hopes for the season. Talk to me of this one. Who needs this one more?
Oh, this is honestly, the Texans, they're not playing really the way they need to be playing right now. That game against Jacksonville was just they just got away with one.
Yeah.
But I think the Texans, they're a very good team. Deshaun Watson is a problem. Deshaun Watson is a problem.
With the right coach to figure out what to do with him, he's a problem.
He's a major problem, man. And I think with them having the young guy at left tackle coming in a couple of games, now he's going to be weak. Second game playing in a sense. So I anticipate the Texans to have a better showcase. I think we're seeing the worst time of their in the season. This is their rookie time, the turbulence time. And right now they're surviving the turbulence without spilling no food on themselves. So I'm enjoying that right now. They're still getting the W. So I think the Texans at this particular moment right now, are a better team than my Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, the Los Angeles San Diego Chargers they coming off a loss this week to the Lions, which is sort of like a hapless loss. This is a team that should be
an ugly game.
This is a team that should be better than losing 13-10 to the Chargers. So we'll see what happens this week. All right, another game this week that's a kind of a big game as we get in. The Browns bounced back this week on Monday night against the completely hapless Jets who don't have a quarterback. So the Browns bounce back, are now 1-1, and they're hosting Jared Goff and the Rams coming into town here. This is
the Browns, the Rams.
Yeah, it's the Browns and Rams. This is a matchup like the Super Bowl that they're talking of the future, you know? Like this is the shot.
The Super Bowl preview.
Right.
The Rams versus the Browns.
Here we go, coming in on it. So tell me about this game. Who do you like here, and what are we expecting?
What is it? The boy genius versus the boy wonder?
Right.
absolutely expect the Rams to come in. They've been there as a championship caliber team. Being in a championship fight, went in and played a fight against the greatest fighting champions of all time and stood their ground and lost, but they won and see how they survived in the championship. Going against the Cleveland Browns, who aspires to go to the championship. So in a sense, and there's just one thing. There's one guy that's going to dominate this game. It's Aaron freaking Donald. His Cleveland offensive line is trash, and Aaron Donald, I don't even know, Aaron Donald is going to have a mandate. Look for Aaron Donald to have 3 sacks this game.
Yeah, I don't believe in the Browns either until they show me something. I don't think beating the Jets is all that impressive, especially with the Jets on their 8th-string quarterback, the guy they picked up off the street and were like, hey, man, we're hurt. Can you throw a football this week? Terrible situation in New York. You're a Jets fan. That is thoughts
man,
and prayers.
Man, why are you going to talk about the Washington State guys, man?
Thoughts and
that's
prayers.
That's a Cougar, man.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, that's a Cougar. Look, folks, that's a Cougar, man.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking more forward to the Cougar out down there in Jacksonville. See what he can do. A better shot this week. All right, big game this week, though. Let's get right at the biggest game of the week is the Ravens at the Chiefs. This is
saucy.
We talk about like a sort of a transition in quarterbacks from the old guard getting injured and coming in and the new guys rising up. This is the battle. Both teams 2-0. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes gunning here. Both of these guys look incredible. Mahomes coming off another great week. Lamar Jackson didn't have the week that he had in week one, but still had a great week. What happens here at Arrowhead, man?
I'm talking about they got some weapons too, man. They got the tight end Andrews for the Ravens is the beast. Everybody already know about Travis Kelce, and Hollywood Brown is a speedster. Everybody knows about Tyreek Hill. So you see kind of similar weapons they have over there, but the difference is they have two different type of quarterback, man, but they both could make them throws. They could make – they're both special in two different aspects and two different ways. That's going to be so impressive because – the Ravens have a better defense. What I tell you about Earl Thomas, they have a better defense, but obviously Kansas City and Andy Reid and company, just one of the most innovative play caller in the game. They know how to dissect defense, and they have the ultimate arm, man. The golden arm. The golden arm of Kansas City, man. Mahomes. And Mahomes just is that it right now, man. He's just that it. He's that thing. I think the Ravens going to play their hearts out. They're going to do everything they can. And Lamar Jackson going to do everything he can because the Chiefs' defense is terrible. I mean, terrible. And I expect the Chiefs to outscore them in this game because Patrick Mahomes is that dude.
All right, so you're taking the Chiefs in this one over Lamar Jackson?
Is it September?
It's still September.
It's September. I'm taking the Chiefs and Andy Reid hands down.
That's right. In September, he usually doesn't find a way to fuck it up. This is the way to go. All right, so that's our week three preview here on Trash Talk Radio. Next, we got to turn our attention to the college game as we welcome our man, the Almanac, in for the campus check-in to look ahead this week. And he's got a new segment this week, Guru. Let's go to the Almanac. Back for the campus check-in with our man, the Almanac, checking in from the South, where college sports really live, down there in the South. Almanac, welcome back to Trash Talk Radio, man.
Hey, man, how's it going, guys? Looking forward to talking football with y'all.
You know what? Absolutely great having you back on the show. Every week here on the Campus Check-In, the Almanac comes in and talks a little college football to us. This past weekend, though, man, I see on the run list, we're not really talking about much from this past weekend.
Body bags games, man. All body bags, man. Come on, Almanac.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty terrible. We didn't have not one matchup pitting two top 25 teams against each other. So it was pretty much blowout city. Last week, man. So, unfortunately, we're gonna have to skip on to the this preview of upcoming games. We got a few big ones on tap this coming weekend.
Yeah, at least one can hope for some of these prospects coming up. Even the one we thought would be good, the Clemson Syracuse game, turned out to be another blowout. Man, Syracuse definitely fell off.
Instead of orange juice, it was straight lime, dog.
It was lemon juice. It sold him a lemon, is what happened there.
Yeah, it was pretty filthy, man. Clemson went in there and they did what I thought they were going to do, man. They dropped the hammer on them boys. They kept it close for, pretty much the first half, but in the second half, the talent overwhelmed Syracuse and Clemson ended up running away with the game. So,
all right. So let's look ahead to the week that's coming up then, because that's what matters, right? This last one didn't really count, but we have some games coming up here this week. I want to start with I think one of the best ones is number 11 Michigan at number 13 Wisconsin. Looks good.
Wisconsin coming up with that tough defense. I know that coming to Michigan, man. One of the highest rated defense, I believe, right now.
Yeah, this is going to be a defensive battle. These two teams, they annually have, two of the best defenses in the country every year. Both these teams are pretty much known for playing defense and having a good ground attack. It's really a big, big game in the Big Ten, and Jim Harbaugh, his team hasn't been looking that well this year. So, a lot of the alums up there in Michigan, they're kind of nervous. And this game here is very important, I think, for Harbaugh and Michigan to get things turned around and so that maybe they can use it as a liftoff and project, and improve their team going forward, because so far it's been underwhelming. And I think this is a spot where Wisconsin is looking forward to as well, because, Michigan dominated them 38-13 last year. So Wisconsin coming into this thing, spitting and chewing, ready to get after Michigan just as much as Michigan looking forward to playing them. So it's going to be a big game. Wisconsin, neither team has really played against any stiff competition. So it's going to be a step up for both teams. Wisconsin has beaten its opponents through 2 weeks so far with a combined score of 110-0. So that lets you know.
Whoa, they playing the Miami Dolphins two times?
Exactly. That's how it's looking, man. So far, they lead the nation in every pretty much defensive statistical category. But you could take that with a grain of salt, because the competition really hasn't been there. So I'll let you know, guys know, though, before the season, Michigan was a 5-point favorite in this game. And, based on how things have been going so far, the pendulum has totally swung. Michigan's coming into this game as three and a half point underdog. So that lets you know how the sharps in Vegas have, you know, how they projected Michigan, where they thought they were going to be coming into the season. So I'm going to take to win this game. I'm going to give it to Jim Harbaugh.
That's your boy. That's your man. Yeah. That's your man. You love Jim Harbaugh, man.
No, I don't love Jim Harbaugh. I just think Michigan has a little bit more talent than Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin never has a top 25 or a top recruiting class. They have a system. They recruit to their system. And every year, you know, they continuously putting offensive linemen and running backs in the NFL every year. And it's what they do. They have Paul Chris. He's got that program going. They're pretty much top 25, top 15 every year. This year, they're led by Jonathan Taylor for the third year in a row. He's going to be another top three, top five Heisman candidate. He's probably going to rush somewhere between 1,600 to 2,000 yards again. But like I said, Michigan, I give them a slight edge because they have more talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Michigan has one of the better wide receiving corps in the country. But it's all up to the signal caller, Shea Patterson. You know, he transferred from Ole Miss with a lot of hype, and he hasn't been living up to the billing so far. So, you know, a new offensive coordinator was brought in to, you know, run spread offense. Right now, it's not looking pretty good, but I don't know why. Everything's telling me to pick Wisconsin. I'm going to give it to Harbaugh, man.
You were high on this team in preseason. This was one of your upset picks to maybe make the playoff here. This is a team that, let's not forget, is 2-0. It's funny to say this, but they're a disappointing 2-0.
Yeah.
They're undefeated and underwhelming. You know what I mean? It's a very bizarre situation to be in for Michigan at this point, as they are 2-0. We can't forget that, but maybe this is the one where they turn it around. You know, maybe they put on the show finally. They start to get it in gear against Wisconsin.
I tell you what, I hope they do, because if they lose this game, I tell you what, it's going to be bad for Harbaugh. Panic mode will be setting in Big Blue Nation. So this is a big game for Michigan, and I'm going to say I think it's pretty much a must-win game. Even though it's on the road, I think they need to go up there and get that game. And, you know, finally live up to all the billing. He's making $7-8 million a year. He hasn't won the Big Ten yet since he's been there. He's been there for 4 years now, and he has a losing record against his biggest rivals, Michigan State and Ohio State. And it's time for Jim Harbaugh to step it up, man. And
you're riding with Jim. Okay. All right.
I'm gonna ride with Jim, man. So I like Michigan to get the W 23-17 on the road in Wisconsin.
So bizarre for the 2-0 higher ranked team to be the underdog going into this one, but that is exactly what we're saying here. All right, so we like Almanac likes Michigan going into this one. All right, another big game this weekend is number 7 Notre Dame at number 3 Georgia. I know you hate that Notre Dame's high.
He hates Notre Dame being so good.
Yeah, but Georgia's another team that you were high on, so this game has to be, you got to be salivating at Georgia just knocking the Irish down, right?
Absolutely. I love Georgia. I love their quarterback, Jake Fromm. I love the coach. You know, he's a disciple of Nick Saban. He's got the recruiting clicking. He's been top 3 in recruiting classes the past 2 years, so his team is stockpiled with talent. And it's not that I don't like Notre Dame. It's just I hate their fan base. It's so arrogant. I mean, they're living in the Lou Holtz days. They haven't won anything in 20 years, but they think they still have an elite program. And no matter, they rank top 10 every year, but whenever they get to the big primetime games or in the playoff, or whenever it's a primetime game against a big time SEC school, they always get dominated. And I'm not talking about like close losses. They get blown out by double digits. So it's just the fan base, and I just think they're frauds. So this game is on the road, in between the hedges. You know, they played Notre Dame. They played a good tight game up there in Notre Dame last year, and I just think that I think Georgia will. I think Georgia's going to dominate them. I'm just going to flat out say it. I think Georgia's going to win this game by at least two touchdowns. I think I like Notre Dame's quarterback, Ian Book. You know, he's a good college quarterback. You know, he has a good completion percentage. He doesn't turn the ball over that much. He's mobile. But I don't think Notre Dame is as talented as they were last year, this year. So I think Georgia has pretty much the advantage at every major position, the quarterback, definitely on the offensive or defensive line. You know, that's always the biggest difference between the SEC schools and other programs, those offensive and defensive lines. I don't think Notre Dame will be able to run the ball at all against Georgia. And if they're going to be one-dimensional, relying on the pass game, I think that's a failure. And I think Georgia is going to get after the quarterback. And it is a night game between the hedges, primetime CBS. So this is going to be Notre Dame's first big challenge of the year. And I think they're going to fall flat on their face. this game does have playoff implications. As you know, Notre Dame is not in the conference. So, you know, they don't have a conference championship game at the end of the year. So, if they're going to have any playoff chances at all, this is a must-win game for them.
Yeah, they need to beat these top teams.
So, from what I'm hearing, yep. Notre Dame and Michigan are in the same boat. The coaches are both in jeopardy, and it's a big game for both of them this week.
It is. I agree. But the only thing, the difference with Brian Kelly is at least he's coached his team to the national championship. He made the playoff last year. Harbaugh can't even say that. So, much as I don't like Brian Kelly and Notre Dame, at least he has gotten his team to the postseason a couple of times.
Now, remember, hang on. It's not that you don't like Notre Dame. Yeah. It's that you hate their fan base. Yeah.
It's not like you don't like Brian Kelly.
Right, right.
I don't like Brian Kelly. I don't like
Brian Kelly. I love it. All right, so let's move on here. I want to move on to our new segment here. We're calling this, for now, we're calling this your Dogs of the Week. What is this that you're giving us here, Almanac?
Yeah, it's a new segment. I'm going to it's basically, you guys know I keep my eye on every game every week. So
that's why we call you.
That's why you're the Almanac.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I thought I would take, my platform on behalf of you guys, Trash Talk Radio, to shine some light on some of the guys that's, putting in work every week. So I'm going to, I'm going to give guys a little shine out, probably three or four guys every week. Who I have my eye on. We have big time performances.
All right, so tell me about this week then. Who do we got in the inaugural segment here?
All right, so this week, as we already established, it was a bunch of trash games last week. So I was able to find a few guys who had big time performances. A couple of them, I'm sure you know. A couple of them you don't know. So I'm going to start with the guys you may not know as well first. So the first guy I'm going to give a little shine to in my Dog of the Week is Dylan Gabriel from UCF. He's a freshman quarterback from UCF. And this kid, they dominated Stanford this past week with a score of 45-27. Actually, the game wasn't even that close.
Yeah, they were blowing them out at halftime.
Josh Heupel got those guys playing, baby. I see you, Josh Heupel.
He carried the torch from where Scott Frost left it. This kid was 22 for 30 for 347 yards and four touchdowns. And like I said, the score was 38-7 at halftime. So if the game was even a little bit more competitive, this kid probably could have thrown for over 500 yards and maybe five or six touchdowns. I don't know what's going on with David Shaw and Stanford up there in Palo Alto, but it's been a long time since I've seen them get thrashed like that. So my first dog of the week is going to be the true freshman, Dylan Gabriel, freshman quarterback from UCF. Okay. So he's my number one dog of the week.
The Golden Knights.
All right, yeah, who else exactly. We got?
My second guy, who's not too well known, many people probably never heard of this, and I like this kid because I love his name. His name is Tuba Hubbard. He's a running back from Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy. He's known for prolific offenses down there in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And this kid leads the nation in rushing yards right now. He led Oklahoma State to a victory over Tulsa. He carried the ball 32 times for 256 yards.
256?
And they needed every yard of it. because it was a road game.
32 carries in the Big 12? What?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, they needed every yard because it was a close game. It was back and forth, but Oklahoma State finally pulled away in the end, led by Chuba Hubbard. All right. So he's my second dog of the week. And these next two, I'm going to kind of share these guys because they're probably one and two in the Heisman right now. And that's going to be Jalen Hurts and Tua T. I ain't going to say his last name. I ain't want to get tripped up or whatever. So,
yeah, man, I ain't trying
Jalen Hurts. Exactly. So I'm going to call him TT. But first, we got Jalen Hurts. I don't know if I'm
going to say that either.
Yeah.
What about Tua? The flying Hawaiian.
We just call him Tua. Right. We know
I
who
know
he is.
Tua. Right.
Yeah. One name right. Like Cher.
So Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, you know, Oklahoma, they dominated UCLA. Jalen Hurts was 15 to 20, 289 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. He also had 150 rushing yards and another touchdown.
Yeah, that's a big day, man.
Yeah, and that pretty much was all in the first half. Like I said, the game wasn't competitive, so they definitely pulled their foot off the gas in the second half. And Jalen Hurts, man, this kid is looking more as efficient as ever. He's been the reclamation project of the year so far, and Lincoln Riley continues to do it again, man. And
well,
so
I mean,
far, it's looking like
he did get that team to the national championship. He may have fallen apart in the game, but he did get that team to the national championship. You know, it's weird to me that he's this reclamation project. I'm glad he's getting another shot at this because Tua came in and ran shit, and you had to let him do it from there on out. But I'm glad he's getting another shot at this. You know,
I am too, man. Kid deserved it. He was very classy in his exit at Alabama, so he deserved everything he's getting.
Now, all meanwhile, right, so, at Alabama, Tua had a Lamar Jackson kind of day.
Oh, man, this kid was dominant, man.
That's your boy, too, man. The Almanac, yeah, love him some Tua, man.
I love this kid, man. He's so precise, so accurate, and he anticipates is the best out of every quarterback in college football. He was, for this week, he was 28 out of 36 for 444 yards and 5 touchdowns. Darting the ball.
Jackson 5.
Yeah.
Spreading it out. You know, this kid has the deepest stable of wide receivers in the country. Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, and Henry Ruggs. All those guys run sub 4.4. So, you know, each one of them have their own special, their own specialty, you know, what they're good at. So, but, and they did this against another, you know, a program, South Carolina. You know, South Carolina is a legit program. Will Muschamp, the head coach, he's a defensive guy also. So it was very impressive to what Tua was able to do against those guys. And he didn't even really play in the fourth quarter at all. So, like I said, had the game been competitive somewhat, you know, his numbers could have been much, much better. So Tua and Jalen, you know, they also are my two dogs of the week. So those are my dogs of the week for this past week, you know, and I'm looking forward to, you know, highlighting some new ones for you guys next week when we do this thing again.
All right, well, we are almost out of time here, so running long as always, Almanac. Let me just ask you quickly for the Almanac top 10. We do it every week. It is the only poll that matters. It's not the AP poll, it's not the coaches poll. The Almanac checks with everybody that matters, and that is the Almanac, and gives us the Almanac poll top 10 every week. I can't imagine it changed much this week.
Yeah, since we had a bunch of garbage games, everybody pretty much in the top 10 pretty much, you know, dominated their games. So my top 10 is going to be pretty much the same. You know, Clemson, Bama, LSU, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Auburn, Notre Dame, Florida, and Utah. However, there is one team that I have my eye on that that astonished me this past week, and I got to include them in my top 10. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think I'm going to put them over Clemson, actually.
Really?
And that's going to be the Miami Dolphins. They're going to be the number one team for the NCAA Top 25 this week. So Miami is going to be my new number one.
Oh, no. Guys, now you're just being ridiculous, Almanac. You know Clemson would house them.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't even think the Dolphins probably would be the best program in the state of Florida right now.
No,
I think
probably they not.
The Dolphins going to be tanking for recruits, man.
Absolutely. They're fighting with Florida State right now.
See if they get a bowl game this year. They might not even get in there.
Oh, man.
All right, Almanac. Yeah. Thanks, as always, for joining us here on the Campus Check-In every week on Trash Talk Radio. We appreciate you stopping by, as always, and we'll talk to you again next week, my friend.
All right, looking forward to it, buddy. Take it easy, guys.
Later.
And we are back on Trash Talk Radio. Our thanks, of course, to the Almanac for the Campus Check-In. He'll be here every week to talk college sports with us on Trash Talk Radio. Good to see him as always. Love that new segment. The Dogs of the Week for now.
Yeah, for now, right?
For now.
Almanac, Dogs of the Week. Bye, wow, wow, yippee-yay, yippee-yo. Bye, wow, wow, yippee-yay.
I don't know if that's it, but I like it for there. All right, so Guru, we got a couple more things to do here on the show. We got to get to your call-outs and shout-outs. We got our bets with Ben segment with Ben Carey, and you know I'm going to try and get a two-minute drill in here. But before we get to that, you know what time it is.
That plug, 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 that plug time.
Trash Talk Radio and TrashTalkRadio.com brought to you by the WorldOfSportsNetwork.com. World of Sports Network, connecting the world through the sports we love. Head on over to the new website, TheWosn.com. That's the WOSN.com to get all the great World of Sports Network content. From Trash Talk Radio and the Barbershop Talk to The Wash with me and Marku, and all kinds of great merchandise with Trash Talk Radio and World of Stuff. World of Sports Network stuff on there. There's stuff on there there's stuff on there that'll surprise you. Let me put it that way. Hey, one more thing here. Every week you hear our theme song. It is a band called the Jagaloons and a song called Knife Bumps. Well, their brand new album, Ruin the Party, is now available at jagaloons.bandcamp.com. It's on CD, it's on MP3, it's on vinyl. This song, Knife Bumps, the one you're hearing right now, is on the record. The Jagaloons, Ruin the Party. Go get it right now. It's a great surf rock from upstate New York. I love it there. Hey, if you're looking for the Guru, he's available every day on Instagram at Guru's Film Room. That's Guru's Film Room on Instagram. It's just his thoughts. It's just his thoughts. And one more time for people in the cheap seats, it's TrashTalkRadio.com. And Guru, tell them what that hashtag is.
That's 10K for TTR.
A little out of practice, I forgot to tell people to make sure to leave us a review. Get over there and leave a review, leave a comment anywhere you get your podcasts. It helps us out a lot on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Google, anywhere. Just do us a favor, drop us a line. All right, Guru, we got one final look back at the week that was here in the NFL with your call outs and your shout outs.
Oh my God, the heck out of here. Yes, boy.
This is our opportunity to look back one more time, and Guru finds the guys who need to be called out for their play, the guys who fell down a little bit, as well as the guys who stepped up. The call outs, of course, get us a
oh my God, the heck out of here.
And our shout outs get us a boy. So let's start where we always start with the call outs. Guru, who fell down this week?
Oh, man, the call-outs. Obviously, we all got to start with the guys that need their ass called the hell out. It could be the team. It could be the GM. It could be the coach. It could be anyone in that franchise, in the whole organization, the cheerleader, mascot. I don't give a damn. You all could be candidate of getting your ass called out. And call ass out number one, my cousin.
Oh, no, really? I wondered if you were going to bring this up. I got this in the drill, too.
My cousin. You know what? I'm getting tired of him. Is this that family member, man? That motherfucker, you just keep giving chances, giving opportunity, man. That fucking cousin, man. He's not even your brother, man. He's not even your sister, but he's your damn cousin. That's what he is, man. I don't fuck with you no more, Kirk Cousin. It's over. I'm renouncing you, my damn cousin. I still mess with the defense, though. Don't mess it grown, Minnesota Vikings. I rock with y'all, and I think y'all will still do what y'all got to do. But from now on, I will not say this guy is my cousin. He's your cousin. He's your cousin.
Yeah, my cousin.
He's not my cousin.
What's funny is the whole time you were all about him with that signing the $84 million contract going up there. You're a big Kirk Cousins supporter. What I'm seeing right now from you is that you're realizing what the rest of the NFC East saw. We were like, yeah, man, you just you love him. Keep him. He's all yours.
Hey, he's not my cousin. He's your cousin.
All right, so Kirk Cousins.
Oh, my God, the heck out of here.
You get called out. Who else gets called out this week, Guru?
Okay, man, this needs to happen, man. This needs to freaking happen. The Miami Dolphins.
Oh, the whole team.
The whole organization.
Get the heck
out of here. The whole Sam Hankey in to NFL out this
joint. Get the heck out of here.
What the whole process, the whole shebang, y'all need. Hey,
I will not stand.
Is calling your asses out.
Oh, my, get the heck out of here.
I will not stand for the Hankey slander, my friend, for that. But yes, Miami Dolphins.
Oh, my, get the heck out of here.
I want one more call out this week, Guru.
Man. This one, I got to do it. The Miami Dolphins. For just being the worst team that's ever assembled in football. You don't deserve one call out. You deserve two call outs. And the Guru is calling you out twice for the debacle and for in what we call this in spades, man. For reneging the game, man. That's what you're doing. You're reneging the game. You finna give guys who play against the Dolphins fantasy points, man. The Guru is invested in this game, man. I don't need the Miami Dolphins to ruin
what
I've got invested. I am calling your asses out for everyone that's invested in this game.
Oh, my, get the heck out of here.
For fantasy football players and gamblers everywhere, Miami Dolphins, you don't get called out once. You get called out twice this week.
Get the heck out of here.
All right, so somebody played well. Somebody needs to be recognized this week, Guru. Let's turn our attention to our shout-outs.
Yes, boy. Yes, boy.
What do we got?
Hey, man, we talking about every this. We talking about AB. You talking about this. But we got to talk about J2, baby. J Square, man. Julio, but he's a black man, Jones, man. He ain't no Hispanic just because his name is Julio. He is straight 100% Negro. And with that speed versus the Philadelphia Eagles, the Julio, not the Julio Cesar Chavez Mexican name,
yes, boy,
but
yes,
the
boy.
Black Julio Jones.
Yes,
the
boy, yes, boy.
Is giving you a shout out for the performance against the damn Philadelphia Eagles. Five for what is it? One, what's it? What was his stats? Five for 106 and two TDs. Double J, Julio Jones, baby.
Yes, boy. Yes, boy.
Yeah, I texted you during that game. That man is fast.
That's what I know. Was not Hispanic.
One of that touchdowns.
No, I've never met a fast Julio who's Hispanic, baby.
Yes, boy. Yes, boy.
But I met a Julio in down Georgia, in Alabama, who fast as
this dude flew. Torch the Eagles finally got the Eagles on this one. Although, I'm telling you, that is an embarrassing video. It's week two. Stop dancing. Give us another shout out here, Guru. Week two shout out.
Oh man, I gotta give it to my man. I gotta give it to my guy, man. I'm talking about the second best quarterback in the NFL. I'm talking about Russell freaking Wilson, man. All he does is win. All he does is just do creative things. All he does is he's the best deep ball thrower in football. Take that to the bank. Russell Wilson on the road went to Heinz Fields, and he don't even want catch up in his damn hot dog,
yes, boy,
man.
Yes, boy.
But he came out in Heinz Field and did what he had to do on the road for Pete's 100th win on Pete's birthday. The trifecta for in Russ we trust.
Yeah, 300 yards, three touchdowns. Russell Wilson.
Yes, boy, yes, boy.
For keeping the Seahawks alive and 2-0.
Yes, boy, yes, boy.
Shout out, my man. All right, who's our final shout out of the week?
And my final shout out for the third best quarterback in the NFL right now. The MVP, the reigning MVP.
Of course.
Yes, I said the reigning MVP, and he's the third best quarterback because we all know the GOAT, and
yes,
Russ
boy, yes,
is
boy.
That dude. Yes, Patrick Mahomes, my homie, the homie. Yeah,
had a
however
day.
You want to call the golden arm of the NFL, lit it up with over 400 yards, four TDs, man. All this dude does is just wow us. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, who are now the Golden State Warriors of the NFL. the space and pace, like my man Lestro say. space, and he light that up with the golden arms. He's got the NFL playing like it's taking three-pointers, man. We don't want he's doing no slants. They're doing deep posts. Doing seven routes. They're doing takeoff because my homie could get that ball there, baby.
Yes, boy,
Patrick Mahomes, the guru, is giving you a shout-out.
Yes, boy, yes, boy.
Yeah, Mahomes looks like a video game. He's like a cheat code out there. You could just play the deep ball game all the time with him, and he's going to hit it most of the time. It's just another incredible day. 443 yards, 4 touchdowns for the MVP, reinventing the game in front of our eyes. All right, so that is our final look back with Guru's call-outs and shout-outs, our final look back at Week 2. All right, Guru, we are running out of time here on the show. I see, as always, packed show going over. Loaded. And there is, I realized we missed a major story of the week here in the beginning before we get to the two-minute drill that I want to get to, because it's going to take too long in the two-minute drill. The big story this week is of course, Jalen Ramsey getting in a fight on the sidelines with his coach and asking to be traded. I teased this in the intro, and we didn't even get to it. Talk to me a little bit about Jalen Ramsey's situation here.
It was brewing, man. We know Tom Coughlin don't like Jalen Ramsey. It's just his style, old school style, don't fit with that type of the type of guy Jalen Ramsey is. So it was coming. Now it's just coming at a time where it's forcible. Now it's becoming a trend. Now the NFL guys are requesting things. They're requesting trade, similar to the NBA thing.
Yeah, we talked about it this summer. Yeah, it's NBAification.
Exactly.
Of the NFL.
Exactly. So now the guy's unhappy, and the Jags got to do something about it. And the bad thing about this situation is when a guy's unhappy, they got devalued for the organization. So now his trade value just goes down because everybody knows he's angry and very emotional. And we know what that could cause in a locker room. So the organization, we want to get rid of that as soon as possible. So that means the value goes down a little bit when you just wait it out, if that was suitors. So, yeah, Jalen Ramsey, top corners in the game.
So let's talk about the suitors, because he is the top corner in the game. This is a guy going on the market whose skills almost anybody can use, especially teams that want to get to the Super Bowl or think they got a shot at the Super Bowl. Some of the big names being tossed around here are the Chiefs, are Philly, are Seattle. What do you see happening here?
Definitely. I think that those teams make sense because all three of those teams have high aspiration as far as going to the Super Bowl, and he'll be an integral part in getting over that hump in that particular organization's mindset. And as far as the Chiefs, obviously they got to counter what New England have done. This is all about countering, because their biggest stands between them and the Super Bowl is the Patriots.
Is Andy Reid. Oh, sorry,
it's
my
the
bad.
Patriots. And the Patriots have just, I think the Patriots more than Andy Reid. Andy Reid add a little bit.
Makes it tougher, I suppose it is the Patriots. That makes more sense.
So in a sense, I see with the Patriots, the addition of AB, now they have three receivers, and it would be lovely to have a guy like, hey, Jalen Ramsey to be like, hey, you, go against AB and lock him down. And that'll be a luxury, because right now, Breshad Breeland, who I know about as a Redskins fan, I see him, and the young kid they have over there, Jerry Ward, I don't necessarily think they are Super Bowl championship type corners. So I think this Chief would be in a good situation to make that move.
Yeah, but you were saying before we went on the air, that you don't actually think that's the move that the Chiefs should make.
I don't think that's the move the Chiefs should make. But I think the move, that's the sexy move. You know, that's what everybody wants to make. But I think if the Chiefs are in a situation, they should really go to Arizona and look for Pat Pete. I know the NFL, he's coming through the suspension for the PEDs of that nature. And I don't care about the PEDs, man. I drink coffee, man, when I go to work, man. That's damn PEDs. But you know what I'm saying? That's my enhancer. It's all good, Pat. Sometimes a ghoul got to take a little bit of, you know, a brown alcohol before I go to the ladies' house. Hey, man, I got to do something. It's an enhancer. Hey, so Pat Pete took a little enhancer. That don't mean nothing. Pat Pete is still the best man-on-man corner in the game, and I don't think he will cost as much as Ramsey, especially when right now with that PEDs and him missing six games, suspended six games, his value it definitely depreciated. So you have a guy when he's so low for the value, but his level of play is still elite in this game. So I think for organization wise, that would make sense for the Kansas City Chiefs.
So that would leave Ramsey to go elsewhere. Now, that makes sense to me, too, because that's a team that wants to win right now, and it's a situation where I don't know if they could bring him in. Like you always say that players win games, chemistry wins championships. Or teams win games, chemistry wins championships. So that leaves Ramsey out there. The other two big suitors that everyone's talking about are Philly and Seattle on opposite sides. Now, I think he could end up at either one of these teams. I'd love to see him in Philly, but I'm not sure he's the right fit there. I mean, you make it work with players that are that good. They want to be on your team. You put them on your team. You figure out how to make it work. He's almost a better fit in Seattle, though, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think the most seamless transition for him in this would be Seattle. Just the fact that that's the defense he played with when he first started with Gus Bradley over there in Jacksonville. That's the defense he was having great success with. So he would come here with the same language as something he don't have to. It could be a quick assimilation as far as what to do. And he's around a winner, a culture of winning, where the defense gets the praise for being elite. I mean, and then you have a franchise quarterback. So we'll give you the opportunity to be in a Super Bowl run every season out. So this is a perfect situation, in my opinion, for Ramsey. So, and I'll be a hit because now imagine that the Seahawks, what Schneider could pull off, man, the magician, if he could pull this off, that'll be Clowney, right? When he got rid of Frank Clark, that'll be Clowney, Ziggy, still got Bobby, and we got DJ. KJ, I meant. And then you get a Jalen freaking Ramsey.
On top of signing Russ, too. Let's not forget that happened this year.
Oh, mercy, Olago. I'm talking about Schneider, you pull this out your ass. Woo! Boy, that's all I got to say, man.
All right, so you're betting money, though. Where do you think he goes?
Seattle.
Think he goes to Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, too, actually. I think it makes most sense. Although, I could see Philly outbidding him. I could see Philly making the move and going for it. All right, so that takes us to the two-minute drill here. We got a lot of football here in the two-minute drill, but we don't need to get to it as deep as we needed to get into that because I knew that was going to take a second. So here's how we play the two-minute drill here on Trash Talk Radio. This is our chance to get to everything we didn't get to in the show. Excuse me. This is our chance to get to everything we didn't get to in the show. I put 2 minutes on the clock, and I start lobbing a question to the guru. Are you ready, sir?
Man, let's get this party cracking.
Here we go. The Bills are 2-0, and I love it. Can Buffalo fans get excited?
Hell yeah, man. You know, I was high on the Bills, man. I was high on the Bills, man. 8-8 at the end of the season.
That's not bad.
For the Bills, man, hell yeah.
I'm going to say 9-7 just to be fun with it because I'd like to see them sneak their way in. Hey, another football question. We talked about him earlier. AB had a game for the Pats, man. Was targeted a couple times. But he also had some ugly new allegations appear this week along to go with all his normal AB-ness. My question is, does he finish the year with the Patriots?
If he gets touchdown every week like the way they do, yes.
Yeah, because that's what Bill cares about. All right, moving on to my team, the Eagles. We talked about it earlier. They dropped a game to the Falcons where they looked hapless in the first half but came back in the second. I don't know why people are questioning Wentz. He's not the reason they lost. He's the reason they were back in it. Should I be concerned about the Eagles, or is this something they'll get past?
Absolutely, you should be concerned about the Eagles.
Damn it!
Absolutely, because that secondary is looking sheesh. They looking terrible. I mean, terrible, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, staying in the NFC East, on the other side of this, the team we both hate. The
one thing you guys going to know about the guru, and everybody knows, he hates the Cowboys.
They look good. Dak looks good. Is it just because they've been playing bad teams, or are they for real?
Man, look, man, they so for real.
That's the problem, right?
They for real, man. They for real, man. They for real, man. Them motherfucking boys, man. They for real, man.
You guys going to know about the guru, and everybody knows he hates the Cowboys.
Circling back, NFC East, one last thing. Eli Manning, Hall of Fame.
Yes, he's a Hall of Fame. Damn, Skippy, he's a Hall of Fame. You got to give a Hall of Fame for the guy to stump.
Okay, you got to give the guy into the Hall of Fame. Do you think he deserves it? Because I'll tell you, my analytics tell me he doesn't.
My analytics showed me that is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He's Flacco. He's a better.
That second Super Bowl made him a Hall of Fame.
We heard the horn sound. I got so many more questions. The Bears won on a kick. What? But Mitch looked awful. Is it time to bail on Trubisky?
You know what I've been talking about?
Happy feet,
Mitch, man. They invested in Happy Feet, man. So they're going to go down the drain with
terrible. Them. Dolphins, speaking of going down the drain, the Dolphins suck. We touched on this earlier. They have 10 points so far this year. The record for least points in a season is the 1992 Seattle Seahawks with 140. They went 2-14. Will this team win a game or will they break the lowest points record?
It's kind of crazy. They don't want to win a game.
They don't seem to.
They don't want to win a game. They want to make sure they're guaranteed that analytic processing bullshit.
That's not.
They're going to win one game.
They'll win one game, you think? Will they beat the points record? Do you think they'll be the worst team ever?
They'll be the worst team ever.
All right, let's see. What else do I got here real quick? Because we are well past time. Getting off of this. Finally, Lonzo Ball, the Baldashians are back in the news, and I got to ask you about this. LeVar said Lonzo was damaged goods. What do you do if you're in this situation?
Hey, man, y'all know how to sell, baby. The best sales family. That's why I call y'all a Baldashian, man.
Baldashians.
Hey, y'all going to cause some controversy. You know why? Controversy sells. Guess why we talking about the Baldashian?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
He said some bullshit.
If LeVar didn't pop off at the mouth, I wouldn't even know that show was still on the air, man. I thought that was canceled. Speaking of canceled, Lonzo, cancel your dad, man. You're the one in the NBA, not him. You don't need that shit. Don't take that from him. Final question this week on the two-minute drill is Isaiah Thomas of your Washington Wizards has a thumb surgery. He's out for 8 weeks, too. I guess my question is, how much does it suck to be a Wiz fan?
Man. That boy.
And that is our time this week on Trash Talk Radio. Our thanks to the Almanac for joining us for the campus check-in. Our thanks to Ben Carey and CapWise.com for our Bets with Ben segment as always. As always, you can find us at TrashTalkRadio.com and everywhere you can find podcasts. The Guru is available every day on Instagram at Guru's Film Room. Guru's Film Room on Instagram. Until next time, my name is Lestro.
It's the G to the U to the R to the U.
Thanks for listening.
Dude, man, this guy. He's your cousin.
Yeah, my cousin.
He's not my cousin.